This is Ruben Rivera.
This is John Seymour.
You're listening to New York, New York.
On Winner's Circle Media.
Yo, yo, what's up? You're listening to New York, New York podcast with John Seymour and your boy New York Rube. What's going on, John?
Chilling, man. It's been a minute since we did this. Yeah. We're back in action. We're in the Sweet Chick offices down on Ludlow Street. And, you know, just trying to talk about what's popping in New York City right now, man.
That's right, coming to you live. And for y'all that don't know that a little bit about this podcast is, you know, we kind of, the whole premise of this podcast is to, you know, bring in people that were born and raised natives of New York City, such as me and John, who are, you know, in their city doing their thing and making a difference in whatever realm they're in. So, you know, we thought it was interesting. Hope y'all think it's interesting. But, John, what's going on? So you was out in Brooklyn with Nas the other day for the show, huh?
Yeah, so I was at the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival the other day, and I mean, I've seen Nas perform now a couple of times, and I gotta say, it's crazy because I ran into a couple other people that are actually in the music industry like the next day, and they were like, "Man, yo, I heard that he killed it," and I was like, for whatever it was, I think, you know, whether it was being under the Brooklyn Bridge or, you know, he had some legends in the crowd. Like, you know, at one point, you know, he shouted out Special Ed, and I think he did a verse from, like, I Got It Made. And, I mean, the dude just murdered it. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was just like, you know, a fan once again, you know.
Artists get pumped when they're in their hometown, so I'm sure Nas was open to do that show.
Yeah, right, I mean, it was. And you know what it is, too? I think the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival brings out a certain type of
you gotta show
a person that, you know, a certain type of hip hop fan.
Right.
And you know, food is here.
Sweet Chick is, man. One of the perks of doing this podcast at Sweet Chick is the fact that
Shrimp and Grits.
You know, it's a lunch based, a brunch based thing. And my man, our special guest for today, we're not going to say his name yet, ordered the shrimp and grits. And a nice cold lemonade. And we're about to have a good time with this.
Yeah. So, you know, right now, so Nas, again, if you didn't see him at the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival next week on Monday, the 25th, he's going to be hosting the Live at the Barbecue, the Mass Appeal joint. And Sweet Chick, we're going to be doing all the food there.
That's great.
So, you know, when I say he's hosting, I say it with like quotation marks, because probably contractually he's got to be hosting it as opposed to performing.
But, it must be nice to have Nas in your corner. I mean, hands down, the greatest rapper to ever live. I mean, to me, I mean, besides the rappers that ain't here anymore, like Big, I mean, you got to give it up for Nas besides Jay-Z. I mean,
yeah,
you know, that must be amazing.
I mean, that definitely was my guy growing up.
And, absolutely.
But, you know, that's a lot of stuff that's happening with me. But what's going on with you, bro? I heard some money just drop in your pocket.
Well, not yet. You know the business, but we are on our way, man. You know, we're just fortunate enough to take our project to the next level and get a major production deal. So, you know, just looking forward to moving forward with it and giving it to did I use forward twice? Once a day.
I was just about to say, it's amazing how modest you are on air as opposed to off air,
right? Well,
before we let Eric Newman talk, that was between us, but now it's between us.
Because, like, about 20 minutes ago, it was like, I'm killing shit. I'm going out to Hollywood, yo. I'm fucking everybody up in Hollywood, yo. I'm taking everybody's money.
Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? Courtside for D Rose. Courtside.
Rube was like, yo, I went into the office, I put my hand in dude's pocket, and I said, yo, give me that fucking money, man. Put the show on TV.
He went Goodfellas on. Fuck yo, you, pay me.
It's I'll funny. But now he's like, me. Now he's like, did I say forward too many times? I'm very grateful. You're a humble guy.
Linguistics.
It's funny that E! New, our guy, says that courtside at the Knicks, because, you know, this deal happened, and yes, it's great, and blah, 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 but the only thing I kept thinking about while I was signing the deal was buying season tickets to the Knicks. Like, I don't care about anything else, really. I told my wife she can have it all. Like, I just want my season tickets, two seats, So I could go to the game and then eventually bring my newborn son, who's on his way any day now, Kai, I'm very excited about. So he could be born. I mean, his birth date is August 3rd. But, you know, we're excited to, you know, any day now, basically. And I'm sitting next to, once again, my man, my inspiration. He got three kids, John. And, you know, hopefully I could be as good as a father as you are, bro.
Bro, I'm just trying. Whatever you guys see on Snapchat and Instagram is all a lie, you know? I'm usually yelling at them, telling them to brush their teeth. That's kind of the everyday situation. Damn, George has brought in some more food.
Oh,
all right.
Man, that looks delicious, man. John, you use the best bacon at Sweet Chick, man. You
win. We make our own bacon, bro.
That's the only way, bro.
I love
the bacon at Sweet Chick.
We cure our own bacon. We slice our own bacon.
Man.
So, you know.
It's good. It's awesome to be able to do this podcast, but it's more awesome to be able to bring super cool New York natives on the set that are doing amazing, not your average things in the world. I don't even want to say in New York or wherever, just the world. So today, John and I are very excited to have a special guest, and the special guest is Corey Homicide Williams. Corey, what's up?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited to be here. What's the good word, fellas?
My man, Corey, yo.
Well, hold on a second. You know, I don't know too much about Corey, right? Mm-hmm. But when you introduce him, you say, Corey Homicide Williams. I'm just, and you know, I know he balls, you know? And I'm like, this dude,
he?
I mean, he's free, so he... I'm assuming he didn't commit a homicide, but I mean, that's not how he got the name, but I would imagine that when he was on the court, I mean, he was just committing murder on a regular basis.
Yes, but there is some free dudes in Brooklyn and the Bronx that have committed homicides. Just put that out there.
Well, funny you should say that. You know, growing up in New York, as we all have, in the street ball circuit, you know, we tend to exaggerate certain things, overexpress certain things. Like, if you're on the court, we wouldn't say, oh, you know what? Corey's out playing that guy today.
He did a good job.
Did a really good job.
He scored a lot of points.
Yeah. We don't talk like that in New York, you know, as we all know. But we just, man, he's killing him. He's murdering him. He's destroying him. And my name just kept getting harder and stronger as I continued to play. It happened at Rucker Park in 2000, summer 2000. I graduated school long time ago.
Yeah,
you're talking 16 summers ago.
Yeah.
And I came out of college. I went to Alabama State. I didn't have a stellar career. I didn't have a big name. And I just knew I wanted to play this game, and this was the only opportunity I had to possibly get to the next level, which is to play professionally. So I wrote people's names down on a notepad. And I was just basically hunting them down. I would go to parks and tournaments and hunt you down. And
damn.
I would approach you. You wouldn't know who I am because I wasn't nobody in high school. And I went to Rice High School. I didn't go there because of my skill level. That was the number one high school in the nation.
I want to talk about Rice High School.
No doubt. Shout out to Rice Raiders. We're no longer there, but I'm a Raider for life.
That's right.
You know, and I literally was just there as an energy player. You just guard this guy. Calm him down because he's just doing too well. Play defense and pass the ball to the best player. I was the definition of a role player. So I knew I was better if someone could coach me and help develop me. Let's face it, in New York, basketballers in New York is like actors in LA. Everybody's one. So no one has time for the guy that needs to be developed. Everybody wants the guy that's good now. So, you know, for whatever reason, I slipped through the cracks, and it is what it is. You know, I graduated high school and went to junior college in Kansas City, and I was just like, look, I'm going to get better. I remember leaving Rice telling players, look, you guys are good now, and I'm not. But I'm going to catch you. When I catch you, I'm going to bust your ass. I'm going to destroy you, just like that. So that was my mission, to get better so I could see those guys and destroy them when I saw them.
Yeah, of course. So, yo, it's crazy because, like, I know a little bit about basketball, you know, and the journey of a basketball player from New York City, that isn't highly talented. I was one. I've seen it. When did you really, because, like, players coming to their own offensively. I remember you were a lockdown dude, like an all-purpose dude at Rice High School. when did you say, yo, you know what? I could put the ball in the hole, too. You know what I'm saying? When did you get that confidence? And you're like, yo, I could score on anyone. Because that's what you do now.
That confidence kicked in for me. My confidence began when I went to junior college. I had a coach who actually gave me some playing time, but it was my sophomore year. I had to go sit. You know, junior college is just 2 years for those who don't know.
Right.
That's a grind in itself.
Right.
That's for, like, grown men.
There's no glory.
There's no glory.
Right.
And I basically had to wait my turn my freshman season. We won the championship. It was Division II Junior College in Kansas City, Missouri. Penn Valley Community College.
Wow.
And the guy I played behind was an All-American. So I had to wait my turn. Again, feeling like how the effects in Rice High School. And I said, look, I got 1 year.
You at Rice with Felipe Lopez.
Rice was Felipe Lopez. Wow. Reggie Freeman.
Reggie Freeman.
Gary Saunders.
By the way, shout out to Reggie Freeman from my neighborhood in the Bronx. That's my bro. I know Reggie Freeman since he was a baby. That's my fan.
Shout out to Reg, the OG.
Yep.
And, you know, Chudney Gray was there.
Chudney, like, that's my man.
There was so many ball players. The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
But there was so many ball players, they had to make a varsity B team. Yes. That was the years they started varsity B.
Right.
That's how much talent was in Rice. St. Raymond's did it. LaSalle did it. Like, so many schools did it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only play but so many players, you know? So I played varsity B my junior year. Usually you play freshman, sophomore. Varsity the last 2 years, an average player. So I played varsity B my junior year, and then Felipe left my senior year. And I played varsity A the following year. So I didn't even get a chance to play with Felipe or Reggie Freeman because he had 2 years on me. But there was still some great times because they helped push me regardless because I wanted to be just as good as them. I wanted to play on that. Yo, if you played at Rice varsity A, that meant everything. Because they were at one point the number one team in the country.
I, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even the biggest basketball guy like that. Like, and Rice is legendary.
You know, Harlem.
Yeah, legendary.
Shout out to Harlem.
The jersey's legendary. Man. It's, that's
everything. I remember on another level of how awesome that school was, social-wise, the school had so much swagger. An all-boys Catholic school on 124th Street and Lenox Avenue.
That's right.
The Rice parties were so legendary. You have DJs right now that DJ at the best clubs in New York City. We had those type of DJs at Rice High School back then.
Well, when you put together blooming basketball athletes and a bunch of blooming groupie dots, I mean, you're going to get a great party.
But you also knew
that's just what it was.
You knew that some of those players really have the potential to go on and, become, you know, huge successes, you know? So it's like, you know, that's the pinnacle of high school basketball. You know, those guys are the next. And, you know, we're always looking out for those guys.
Yeah, it was just a great experience all the way around. My dad died when I was 3. So growing up in the Bronx, we're talking about the 80s.
What street? What area you
173rd and Monroe, Claremont Park. Right off in between Webster and Grand Concourse.
Well, that's right.
Right down the hill from Bronx Lebanon Hospital. So that area, that era, I mean, the sun was shining on my block. Mm-hmm. Because if you go down the block, you got the hustlers, like cocaine on that block. You go up the block, you got just straight like the killers. You go down the block left, you got like guys that are just completely unproductive. The guys who just don't make it. That's just how it is. And then you got the other block where it's a little bit of all of that.
Right.
So my block, I was lucky enough to be around guys who just, all they wanted to do was work the right way, productive work, get fresh, and fuck with chicks.
That's it.
You know what I mean? So when you add those three aspects into a young man who can be easily influenced by your neighborhood and your surroundings, you need some productivity and positivity in your life because you're going to, chances are, you're going to sway whichever way that draws to you. You know, and thank God I had basketball and those older guys, which I call like my older brothers, because they schooled me to the game in a lot of different avenues that was essential and I needed. You know, my dad died when I was 3. So at the end of the day, a lot of us, whatever color you are, I don't even care, but you need a man in your life. So whoever's around you, you're going to be influenced. Whoever you are is at a young age, and the critical age is 13 to 17.
That's right.
Which is high school.
That's like, you know, I have 3 little kids now, and it's like, and Rube's just about to have a kid. And it's, you know, that's, I already know. I'm like, it's really who they're around. You know, when they're at that age, it's who they're hanging with, who they're around, who are the older mentors to them, you know what I'm saying? And even if you have a father, it's only so much a father can do. Because those people are the people you're going to look up to. So if you're looking up to the kids that are the coke dealers or the guys who are getting locked up, then you're probably going to follow in those footsteps. If you're looking up at a guy who's, you know, really handling his business and, you know, you said on your block, the dudes that are getting laid and the dudes that are looking fresh and the dudes that are doing the right thing, then hopefully you're going to do the right thing, you know? And it's still, that's not never guaranteed.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, I'm no better than anybody. You know, I just had a vision and a dream, and I would stop at nothing until I achieved that. I was all about my goals, and, you know, I'm a man with pride and ambition, and I never say die. There is no plan B.
That's very hard to teach people, man. You know, you can have that in any aspect of life, man, you can definitely, you got a great chance of success.
Glad you say that, Cor, because the reason I was interested in sitting and having brunch with you and doing this podcast was because your story is, I played high school basketball in New York City. I know everything about high school basketball and basketball in New York City, summer basketball stuff. But your story is so different and so unique. Your journey from where you are today, and I follow you on Instagram, and I see what you're doing, and I'm pulling for you while you're over in other countries doing your thing. And I got to be honest with you, you've created something that, you know, New Yorkers and people from your hood could be proud of because you defied the odds. You talking about you went to high school, BT. But my brother, you got a name in the city and you earned that name. And then you took that name and went to other places in the world with it. And then to see you commentating sports in Australia, I mean, who does that, bro?
You know what's crazy? First of all, thank you for all of that, because you're someone I look up to and respect. So when you have someone that can say that to you who you respect,
that's real.
That means a lot. People really don't understand this fucking grind. They don't. People see the celebrity side of it. Oh, he's out doing this. Oh, he's here. Motherfuckers riding elephants in Bali. All this kind of wild shit. They don't understand the work. They don't understand how many fucking years I've been cut from teams, lost money, owed money. Like, this is what I really want to talk about here.
That's right.
The next thing that I'm doing right now is this documentary. It's a docufilm on what it takes to actually be an international pro. I am 39 next month.
Wow.
Tell me a 39-year-old import point guard still in the game.
And your body still feels good, Cole?
Only one. I'm still good. No injuries, thank God, no nothing. Yeah. No nothing.
Good. And you out there,
you know what I'm saying? Just still going.
Because I see your numbers in Nike Pro. You're doing 24 points, 8 assists, 10 rebounds. I see it.
I'm playing hard. I have a why. If you have a why, your mentality is different. What's your why? Why do you do what you do?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you have a why and you haven't gotten that why yet, you haven't achieved that, you still got to go.
And yo, for y'all that don't know, you know, Corey is the type of dude to wake up at 8 a.m. and go to the gym and shoot and work on his reps and then go lift. And then Corey's the type of dude to chill and then go back to the gym at 7 and do reps again and then do shooting and dribbling drills. So everything that he has didn't just pop up under a Christmas tree. The man worked for it, you know what I mean? Daily.
I came from, you know, my family's Jamaican. Again, my dad died when I was 3. All I had was my mom. So one thing as Jamaicans, we work our asses off. No Jamaican could have
tree jobs.
Tree jobs.
How many jobs do you have, man?
Ten jobs.
Oh, you know what I mean? 12 jobs.
12 jobs.
We don't serve the curry good with the beef patties separate.
So, you know, we just come from a hardworking culture, and that was instilled in me generational, you know, so that's one thing I'm proud of. You know, I don't ask anybody for nothing. I just do my own thing. You know, a lot of times my mom used to, you know, sometimes as a little kid, you're like, yo, I'm working hard. Why am I not getting on like this during my years when I was just not being able to land a gig? And I'm like, yo, I killed this dude in the park. How come he's here in the league And I'm not. She's like, she should always say, my mom, look, don't watch nobody. Just do your own thing.
Yeah.
And one thing y'all don't know about New York City is that in the basketball circuit in New York City, we can't wait to laugh at you. We can't wait to say you suck. So when you come out and you turn up, people are shocked. So 95% of the dudes do not turn up in at the Brucka or at King Dome or at Nike or wherever it is in the summer. I mean, so we go to the games to actually destroy your confidence. That's New York right there. That's the same with the Knicks and everything. So when a dude like Corey comes out and drops 28 and gets 8 rebounds and six dimes, we're like, whoa, you know, you got the one thing about New York, we can't wait to diss you, but when you kill it, we can't wait to give you massive love, but not everybody kills it. And that's what, you know, Corey, tell us a little bit about, if you remember the first time that Hannibal at the Rucker gave you the name Homicide in New York City, which is a big thing for those that don't know in New York City to get a nickname at the Rucker. You know, that carries for the rest of your life. So, you know, Corey Homicide Williams, and to get the name Homicide just straight up says you just be murdering dudes on the court. So when you first heard that, I mean, walk us through how that feeling was and what happened that day.
I just came from college. It was summer 2000. And I got on with a team at Rucker Park.
What team was it?
It was the no. I wasn't good enough to get on these teams. They remembered the Corey at Rice. I have a blueprint on how Homicide became Homicide.
Yeah, because you rose up, you got a shot, and you got in.
And I'm gonna tell you how what happened a little later.
Mm-hmm.
So game one, I got on a team. It was the Polo Grounds. Shout out to the Polo Grounds.
Word.
So much love. Shout out to my man Monster. He inside right now, but he was the one that helped me a lot.
Yep.
Give me an opportunity to put myself
Monster,
on the platform.
Monster that used to play ball?
Nah. Jay Monster from Harlem.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's a different Monster.
Invisible Bully, a.k.a.
Right.
The Gooch.
That's right.
And, you know, he was like, yo, how are you not on the team? I was like, yo, nobody put me down. He was like, what? Come on my team. You got the green light. He said, you can take 30 shots. I don't care. And we just had a local mediocre team. But for someone like me, that's what I needed.
That's all you needed.
We'll get back to that in a second. So my first game, I'm on this team, Polo Grounds.
Mm-hmm.
I show up. It's rain. It rained that day. So the gym was Gaucho Gym. That's where the rain side is for Rucker Park.
That's the team from the area of Rucker Park. That's the team from the projects.
Right across the street.
That's
Polo Grounds.
Right.
So the first game, I might have had about 6 dunks. I had 38 that game.
Wow.
38. So as the game went on, no one knows me. Packed in Gaucho Gym. This is 2000, the height of streetball. Not this bubblegum bullshit going on right now. You know, where literally you could lose your life in the streets with streetball. So as the game progresses, who's this guy? Let's call him the hard worker. Then it's like, it's the killer. Then it's the murderer. Then it's like, what's his name? Corey. We gonna call him C-Homicide. Nah, somebody got that. They dropped the C. It was Homicides straight since then. And the next game, actually, after that first game, it was still C-Homicide. That's how I left the gym. The following week, we played against, funny enough, 3-time defending champions, the Posse.
Yep.
Gave them 40. They dropped the C. It was Homicide since. That is not a name. I don't know if you people really understand.
Nah.
That is not a name to keep
with.
Easy.
No way.
Your name is Homicide.
Oh, yeah, nah. They
by the way, in New York, you get the name, but if you don't carry the name, that name is worse off because that name turns into another funnier name to kill you. So
he could
have been Homicide for your summer, came back next summer, not play good, they would have called him the
Suicide. You killed yourself, you bum ass, blah, 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 blah.
Or the misdemeanor or some
straight
shit.
Up.
You know what I mean?
Straight up.
Side convo topic. Homicide removed top 5 basketball nicknames ever.
The Animal.
Predator.
The Future. The Predator. Master Rob. That's a great name. The Master.
Half Man, Half Amazing.
Half Man, Half Amazing. Dribbling Shane.
The Bone Collector. Shout out to the Bone Collector.
Great name. And then mesh in the NBA ones. The Answer, The Truth, The Big Ticket, all those guys.
The
Mailman.
You know, for me, like, you know, one thing that I loved about street basketball in New York during like its heyday. That's where it all originated from. We are the Mecca of basketball. We're the Mecca of a lot of things.
Yeah, a lot of things.
But what's awesome about it is that everybody in the world wanted to come to these parks and play. So regardless of who you think you are or how good you think you are as a street baller, you don't know who's showing up in the park is my point.
Yeah.
And this is where I've had opportunities to excel and build on the moniker, the homicide. Because look, listen, let's face it. At this point, I'm just killing marquee players. You bring them out, 40 in the books.
Easy.
I'm going to go at you so bad you can no longer look me in the eye. I didn't care. I didn't give a fuck if I lost.
You murder anybody good this summer? You want to mention
this summer, nobody guards no more. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, everybody they don't guard. Back. Yeah, like, they don't guard. So
nobody's smacking the ground no more.
It's none of that. Nah. But I have something to talk about later about going at somebody and smacking the ground and getting loaded, and I'm involved in. So okay. This is going to be super duper. This conversation is going to heat up.
Yeah.
We're just laying down the foundation of who I am and how this whole homicide thing came. Then we're going to go global with it.
Yeah.
Right now, we're still in the parks in New York.
Yeah, because you in other countries out there, and the dudes that's trying to get at you is coming to that country too, John. You know?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's facts. That's facts.
And now you're talking for a check. You ain't talking for rep. You're talking for checks, and that's a whole different game.
That's a whole nother game.
Yeah.
So, you know, after you have a New York playground name, you're going to kill off all these guys. So the main guys you'll destroy. The other ones are too scared to even come at you.
Yeah.
So the double and triple teams will start coming. So after a while, it's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So now, what's the next level? An NBA player to come to the park, because that's who they want to see you play against.
That is
that's the natural progression.
That's the natural progression.
It's like the storybook shit, right? Yeah. An NBA player comes to the park to play a street ball guy.
That's right.
And that's what happens.
And if that street ball guy doesn't show and prove that day, John, he's not dope like he used to be before that guy.
Well, of course he's not as dope. But even still, like, to the average person, they're going to say, all right, an NBA guy's coming here. He's going to handle this. So if a street ball guy, because, you know, they figure, okay, NBA, I mean, these guys are the greatest in the world.
Right.
Right, so it doesn't matter. Okay, so this guy plays in a park locally, or, you know, that's the average person's thought process.
Right.
So, you know, so let me know what happened.
All right, so this is 2004. This was like pretty much that year, 04, 05. Summer 04, summer 05, life-changing experience. So I'm living in Denver, married. Like, this is when, like, there was really, like, real money on the streets where it wasn't corporations running teams in these street ball tournaments. These were, like, guys on the block who hustled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that make $100,000 a week, and they could spend $20,000 on a team.
On a team. Yes. Yeah. Pay players. Yeah. So, mind
shout out to Fat Joe, by the way. Terror Squad basketball. Yeah,
shout out to Polo Ground. Like, you know what I mean?
I played their coach, Terror Squad, all day. So, go ahead, Cole.
And, you know, shout out to my homies uptown in Harlem when I was playing with the Polo Ground teams. I was married living in Denver. They would fly me out every week, round trip tickets.
That's real.
And pay me.
You got to be nice. You got to be nice for that in New York. 1,000
round trip ticket like the day before.
I'm going to tell you straight up.
2 weeks
playing. When we had Terror Squad and I was the coach of Terror Squad. We was flying in Zach Randolph and Katino Mobley. So for you to get flown in, that was some serious shit. For somebody to get a plane ticket for you to get to New York to play in this game. And we was flying in dudes the day of. You know, that's real right there. They don't get no realer than that at all.
And, you know, come in, do my thing, jet out. Every week this was happening. So anyway, this summer we killed it.
And you get the check too.
And you get the check. That's, it ain't just the fight. It's not cash money. Yeah.
Y'all don't know. We call it a check, but on the streets, that's the cash envelope you get for the game. You know what I mean? And people will pay that.
Win or lose.
That's right. Win or lose. Well, not for everybody. You got to be a talent on that day. Exactly.
So this year we finish first place in our division. Terror Squad is on the other side. So the only way we'd meet Terror Squad is if we in the championship.
Right.
So we play Tony Rosa team. They got a crew. But we beat them in the regular season. Who comes in the park? Playoffs. Ron Artest. Mm-hmm. They bring Ron Artest. No.
The true.
Not world. Meta World Peace.
Ron Artest.
Ron Artest. Not just Ron Artest. Ron Artest, who just won Defensive Player of the Year for the Indiana Pacers.
Was he the true warrior yet?
The true warrior.
Exactly. Queens, New York.
Understand who's in the park. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Ron Ron. Yep. So they bring him in. And I was like, okay, this is the moment.
This is it.
They brought him in to play against me.
Basically.
What are you going to do?
No, he you know, again, the average person says, Ron Artest is here. He's going to guard this dude. This dude's going to get shut down.
100%.
Ron Artest is the greatest defensive player in the league.
But it's glad you said that because the hood knows Corey, and they rooting for Corey on the low to bust Ron's ass.
Well, of course we rooting for Corey.
We want the underdog because, in the hood, especially if they get from around our way. You know what I'm saying?
But whoever got Ron Artest to come also thought,
he's going to lock Corey down. We're going to win this game. Corey's not getting 30.
Yeah, it was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm good. Like, I got Ron Artest, Defensive Player of the Year.
By the way, who was also labeled a Kobe stopper, and then Kobe got him on the Lakers with him because he didn't want to have to deal with his defense. So the dude is one of the greatest defensive players to ever play the game. Yeah, but go ahead, Corey.
Ron Artest is bigger, stronger, more athletic, taller than me. The first couple of plays, I couldn't score. Ripped me, went to the basket, dunked. Like, I couldn't figure it out. I finished that game with 27. Double teams were coming to help Ron Artest.
Buckets.
That, after that game, like, it was a timeout. We lost by two. Remember, in street ball, I don't give a fuck about wins and losses because nobody else really does.
No, right.
In the big scheme of
it. It's about who killed who.
That's all.
That's it.
That was my mission. At the end of that game, in a timeout and a couple of possessions left in the game, Ron Artest goes to Tony Rosa. I know Tony Rosa is a very good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And he told me a couple years later, he goes, yo, listen. Ron, during that timeout, said, yo, who is this guy? Tony Rosa goes, look, that's Homicide. Don't worry about him. We got to win this game. I had the ball. This is when we talking old school NBA clear outs. The only tournament do that now is Dykeman.
Right.
Clear the whole shot out. It's me and you.
Yep.
Help started coming. You know what that does mentally for a player?
Forget it.
If the fucking defensive player in the year can't guard me one-on-one, who the fuck
in the NBA.
In the league.
Yeah.
Who the fuck could guard me one-on-one?
So that just boosts your confidence right
there. Confidence went through the fucking roof. That was the end of the summer. I got MVP of the league because of that.
Wow.
Those games was on, and this is Rucker Park in the heyday.
Yeah.
I got MVP.
And you know, and the other thing is, this is also not an average game for Ron Artest. So Ron Artest can play every game of the season. Some days he shows up, some days he doesn't. It's not a big deal. They win a game, they lose a game. You know, at the end of the day, the record will speak for itself for the team. He can't get played.
This is blood sport.
This is blood sport. But for a Ron Artest, for a pro to come to those games, they might front. I could see them fronting to be like, I'm just out here just chilling. But they cannot look bad. You know what I'm saying? They are pros. They can't let a dude drop 27 on them.
Street cred is a whole different thing.
Oh, we get crazy. Hold on. I'll give you something else.
Because,
Corey, you know inside their heads, they're like,
the pride got to kick in.
Yeah.
At some point, the pride kicks in.
Kicked in before they got there. Because you know what happened. And I ain't want to mention no names. There's a couple of dudes that had big NBA contracts that came uptown and did not show and prove.
Did not.
L.O. I don't want to say that. But there's some motherfuckers that did. Vince Carter came up there, put on a fucking show. Kobe Bryant, if it didn't rain, Kobe put on a show. And then I'm going to leave it this last one and not mention no one else because there's many more. But Kevin Durant came to the Rucker and dropped like 70.
Yep.
And I'm going to just leave it
at that. I was there that night.
66. But we're going to say 70 because that's what we
round
do on the
up.
Block. Round that off to 70. Once you pass 40, we rounding it out. So understand how real it is. Kevin Durant had to come there and fight for his street name. To get your street name up in the uptown in New York City, you got to really, really, really be on your game, man.
And I'm gonna give you, I'm gonna give you one up on that. What you just said about KD, because I was there. I left that game at halftime. You know why? He only had 18. That shit looked horrible.
Wow. Yeah.
Swear to God.
But in the second half, when he started,
he fucking went
threes,
crazy.
He started hitting the threes from
deep. Yeah. You know. So can you imagine? Like, look.
Google that if you don't know.
Booing him. They was booing him at halftime. because he didn't show up.
Yeah.
He was missing mad shots. It's like, you know,
Google that.
That's about New York. You better show and prove. They tell you. Get the fuck out of here. You think the garden is hard.
Or like my father says, Google it. Google.
the next night, Durant the next night played Pro City.
Right.
Yeah, what'd he do?
He had 40 plus. John Lucas was playing against him. He had 60.
Yeah, wow. He did. He did. Yeah.
Wow.
That was my team. Me and John Lucas was in the backcourt, but I didn't show up that game. That's Big Apple Basketball. Shout out to Big Apple Basketball. Actually, shout out.
You leading the league in scoring at Nike now?
I'm not. I don't believe I'm leading the league. I'm
top
sure.
five, right?
I'm top five for sure.
For sure. Because you're averaging like 20 at
20
least.
Plus for sure.
Yeah,
I'm averaging.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you my why in a minute. Why this summer is more important than I think any other summer for me right now. Mm-hmm. But back to that one-on-one battle with Ron Artest. Again, mentally, what that does for a player, it separated me not only as just like an elite street baller, because at the end of the day, I didn't plan or set out to just be a dope street baller. There was no other option for me.
You had to muscle your way out.
I had to muscle my way in and out. I just used street ball as the generator to try and kick off my professional career. I used to read magazines in the dorm. We used to hear about people and players getting opportunities. Guy getting opportunities to play at the next level. Guys getting agents. Guys just getting looks. So I'm like, well, look, my agent, I don't have one. My coach from college didn't help me. Well, thank God, looking back, I was from the Mecca of basketball.
That's right.
Because, you know, there's plenty of guys like me from Nebraska. Plenty. You'll never hear these guys. They don't have a platform.
Yeah, they can't get
at home.
They
can't.
Can't get seen.
You can't get seen.
And once you know, like once you whatever that year is or that age where they look at you and they may look at a lot of people. If you're not ready for the league at that point, they pass you up and they never look back again. You know what I'm saying? They just never look again because
once that window closed, that's it.
We saw him. We ain't ever gonna look at him.
Thousands.
You know, and you know, outside of basketball, there's so many other genres of different things that you can do. You know what? At 18, I was a complete fucking mess. I'm 38. You know what?
Right.
I'm hitting my fucking stride.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? And if at 18 I was supposed to be drafted into the world,
right?
And they looked at me, they passed me up. But you know, the world is a little more forgiving than these fucking scouts
in sports.
In sports. You know what I'm saying? Right. They're not looking at you after that. They looked at you once. You're not ready?
That's
next.
It. On to the next.
And then forget it. We already saw him 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and he didn't do nothing for me. Yep.
Right.
And it's easy to come out of high school, top player in the country. He's going to Duke University. Then from there, he'll be, maybe drafted in 2 years. That's easy stuff. Talk to me when nobody's trying to draft
That's what I'm saying.
Nobody's trying to, exactly. Nobody's fucking with you, and you put in the work to get to the next. That's a true success story. And if you want to add something onto that, is the fact that it's the Bronx, New York, man. The whole feeling on the streets of the Bronx is not to succeed. You know what I mean? After a while, it's like, whatever, yo, we just go
hustle.
Well,
it's very easy to
hustle.
To get into college, not very easy to play in college, but to get to a college team or junior college team, come out, nobody looks at you. You fuck around, play a little bit of ball, and then you say, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm on to the next thing. And what's accessible to me, and I'm just going
to
go do that.
Anything's easy as opposed to. You have no glory. You still got to work to get the glory, which is difficult when you get to a point. You know, and you watch other dudes having the glory, or that guy's top 20 in the country, that guy's accepted to University of Illinois.
And how many times do those guys never even pan out?
No.
And then they never pan out.
The percentage is crazy.
So. So those guys were ready, apparently ready at 18 or at that age, and they took them, but they never panned out.
They maybe even declined.
I'll tell you one thing
that was making me super happy because, I'm just telling you the story about Corey. I'm a big supporter. Like I said, I love people that defy the odds. Man, and to be seeing Corey, commentating. In the pro basketball league of Australia, like I saw that one morning, and I was like, "Yo, my man! Like, that is an evolution, of a career that was pretty much set by himself as an individual. He knew what he wanted. He took his focus, and it's an inspiration, and he went for his. You know what I'm saying? And that is not easy, man.
Yeah, no, it's a very
that's real.
Story.
I'm gonna tell you some real shit right now. And this is as real as I can say this shit. Plenty of people come to me and say, look, Hamo, what's up, man? I need an agent, blah, 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 right? Yo, Hamo, get me overseas, blah, blah, blah. These guys say they can play, right? And a lot of these guys have talent.
Yeah.
Get emails every fucking day. DMs, all of this stuff. You know the first thing I ask them? You want me to help you, huh? Yeah. Look out for me, homie. Blah, blah, blah. I said, look, you willing to die for this? They said, yeah. I said, okay. I said, because you're hungry, so you're going to say whatever, you know? I say, if somebody gave you a gun right now and say, yo, kill that stranger right now, you can't hoop no more, would you do it?
They say, yeah, you know.
They think a little bit because it hesitates. It's not quick to hesitate. Yeah. It's not quick to answer that.
Yeah.
Because you're like, where's he getting at? Then I give you one better. I say, look, if they gave you a gun and say, kill your mother, would you do it? Get like that, quiet like this.
They're like, yo, this dude.
You know what I said? If they gave me a gun, she's gone. You better be fucking ready to fucking die for this shit. Because they don't know the fucking hell you got to go through. Again, people see the glory.
Yeah.
They see the sweet chicks of the world.
Of course.
Thinking it's sweet.
Yeah.
They don't know the hell that you got to go through. You're a fucking risk taker.
Yeah.
You're a risk taker.
That's right. Yeah.
It's all or nothing. It can't be a plan B if you want this shit to work.
Yeah, that's right.
It cannot be. It's all or nothing. Whoever don't fuck with you, well, don't fuck with me. I'm all in.
It's all good.
And if you can't, if you're not approaching it like that, because that's how fucking strong you got to be mentally to deal with this shit. Half you motherfuckers come from the internet era. Video game era. Don't really know and understand. Can you go to fucking Iraq and play in the middle when ISIS is on the border trying to get into your fucking city? I'm a hustler.
Yeah,
this is it. You know what the fuck I'ma do? You know what I'ma do? I'ma go to the gym, I'ma train, go back to the hotel, do my push-ups, watch my shit on the internet, and chill. Get this money till it's time to get the fuck out of here.
That's
me.
Yeah.
Everybody ain't built like that. So if you ain't built like that, don't fucking ask me.
Yeah.
Straight up,
that's right.
Don't ask me. You not wasting my rep or my time, because you're a reflection of me. You fuck somebody up over there, they ain't fucking with me.
Right.
If you ain't on it like that,
that's how
it.
It is. That's
straight
really
up
how it is, though, overseas.
No, but that's how it is in any
form.
Just like you said, you referenced, you know, the restaurant. In anything you do in life, it's like if you're not about it and you're not passionate about it and passionate enough about it that you really don't give a fuck about anything else other than this, and you're not living this and breathing this every single fucking day, then maybe fucking think of something else to do.
Yeah, or maybe go work for somebody.
Or go become a garbage man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a safe job.
Get yeah, that's right. Exactly. That's cool.
That's
and ain't nothing wrong with that. And ain't nothing
back,
wrong with
I go
that.
Back to the Bronx and... I ain't making fun of nobody. Respect to everybody. I go back to my old hood in the Bronx sometimes, and I might bump into a cat I went to high school with, and he'd be like, yo, bro, what's good? I'm like, yo, what's good? He said, bro, we still play ball? Nah, I don't play no ball. Yo, bro, you acting? I do a little acting. Yeah, he said, my nigga, I just got the job with the housing department. I'm chilling. I'm killing it, son. I got 3 kids. And to me, I'm like, yo, okay. You're aiming for the stars,
right.
But hey, everybody's universe is different.
It's not built for that.
You know what I'm saying?
It
takes a real warrior.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. My boy was here yesterday. He's a corrections officer. And he's doing okay, actually. He works a shitload of overtime. He's probably making almost 100 grand as a fucking correction officer. I was like, really? Holy shit, I didn't know you could make that much money. But
he got great
benefits. I chose, you know, for me, for example, or for people like you, like, or people like Rube, you choose a different route. And you say, this is what I love to do. And I'm just going to fucking bust my ass until I make something happen. And you know what? Something might not happen. And I might fucking end up broke. But at least I'm doing what I like to do.
Shot your shot.
And trying something that I want to do as opposed to just, you know.
The what ifs of the world are settling.
You think it's easy to go to a third world country and play in a league that's third rate to the NBA and still play hard? Any basketball player would show up and be like, fuck, I'm going to just hang out, take a couple of shots, get this little check until they get sick of me and then go home. That happens all the time. I could name 10 dudes I know that did that. But to stay that long and to hustle and even play hard when you know your man, you better than him, is playing with the Nuggets, and you should be playing with the Nuggets, but you're not playing with the Nuggets. You in Istanbul right now. And you and
you're playing with the Buggets.
Yeah, you're playing with the
basically. That's how it's crazy.
But
like,
to keep the motivation up is difficult.
Very difficult.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very difficult. Yeah. But
those overseas checks aren't bad either, man.
They ain't. I ain't complaining, but
they ain't like the new American ones.
It ain't like no league check.
No way.
You know, Now I'm going to move forward from past the Ron Artest to the next summer. That's so right. Now,
and this summer 2005,
05 summer. Yeah. So now it's more like, okay, well, I just killed the defensive player of the league, and I got MVP of the league at the biggest. This is on NBA TV at the time. This is when they were. So this is shown all over the world. This is when Slam Magazine had the Street Ball issue every spring.
You know, Street Ball was like at an all-time high at that point. That was like they were like considering doing like the Street Ball League like on television and shit. Yeah. Like,
that's when Bill Clinton went to the game at the Rucker. You know?
And next to David Stern, Steph was in the crowd. All three of them, right?
That's
there.
Right.
Like this is the height. This is the height of Street Ball. So every summer, right before Street Ball starts, Slam puts an issue, Street Ball issue, inside one of their Slam magazines. So I'm excited because this is the preview of Street Ball. No way I'm not in this.
You just got MVP.
Just got MVP at Rucker. No way I'm not in this.
You should be on the cover.
Yo, Nate Robinson on the cover.
I remember that issue.
I open it up. I'm going. I'm like, I'm in here somewhere. I saw the same usual suspects. I'm in Denver. I said, you know what? Fuck this. Fuck all of these motherfuckers. Wait till I get the fuck back to New York. I literally averaged 40 the whole summer.
I remember that.
In every tournament.
And
that
I wasn't
was the
there.
That was called the summer of homicide.
Yeah.
Swear to God. Pro City. Pro City, if you don't know, is the most prestigious tournament in New York City.
Your name was all over the streets that summer. And I wasn't even uptown watching games, and people were calling me, telling me about homicide. And I didn't even know you at that time. All I knew was from my neighborhood in the Bronx.
Yeah. The first game that summer, God bless the dead. Ali Moe, God bless the dead. Big Strick, Kenny Satterfield, Dante Jones, J.R. Smith. This when Rough Riders had a team at Rucker.
That's right.
Against RBK, which is the team I played for, Paul Grimes.
Right.
47.
And you made RBK better. More dudes started coming to play with RBK after that first year.
47. That game,
light
on YouTube, 47.
Mostly jumpers, mostly going to the bucket.
It was whatever the fuck you wanted.
Yeah.
Whatever
you needed, I got it.
That game got me an opportunity to go to China on the tour team.
Right.
Went over there for a week. Destroyed their national teams. We just toured each city around and destroyed their national team. That coach said to me, of the tour team, Tony Parker from Chicago, which is one of my biggest mentors, he says to me, you can play in the NBA. At that point, I never heard that before in my life. So it's kind of like someone saying, Precious, you a bad bitch.
Yeah.
Right.
And you understand where I'm coming at with this?
Grace of them.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, he was like, listen, you can play in the league. I was like, so fuck. I'm like, he believes in me this much. I need to tell him my story. We're in China building. And he said, listen to me. Look. I ain't promising you nothing. I'm gonna make a call. See what happens. I ain't promising you nothing. Let's just stay in touch. Jim Todd was one of his best friends. Jim Todd was a coach from Boston, a guy from Boston, a man from Boston who coached at Columbia University some years ago. So within our culture, everyone doesn't understand New York playground basketball.
Yeah.
So a lot of people at this point, street ball started turning for N1. They started doing a lot of tricks. They were fucking the game.
It was actually finding its way at that time.
Yeah.
Trying to do experiments.
The hot sources of the world.
They were trying to market.
Tour bus, to go to different cities.
There you go.
Yeah.
But what they did was confuse the world. Great marketing plan. This is what they said. We're the best street ball players in the world. So anyone who's not in the tri-state area, who doesn't really understand street ball, would believe they are street ball.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's hard to sell that. If you're from the Wisconsins of the world or the Minneapolis of the world, like, we got this guy, he's killing New York City. He's like, oh, he's a street ball guy? Ah.
Yeah, they don't know how to play with a team. But that was
exactly.
Kind of the way they marketed it. It's like, they just know how to do some tricks.
Hey, the new school Globetrotters is what I call them.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So he understood it is my point, Jim Todd. So Tony Parker's like, yo, you got to go see my guy. Jim Todd said to him, whenever you got somebody, let me know. I'll go look at him. 15 years, never call anybody. Call him for me.
Wow.
Jim Todd one day, this is after the Ali Moe destruction up there at Rucker Park. Jim Todd calls me one morning. I'm waking up. Yo, hello. He's like, hey, Corey, how you doing? It's Coach Todd. I'm like, hey, Coach, how you doing? He goes, look, what you got? You got any games today? He's like, You had Pro City? I'm like, nah. I said, I got a game. He's like, you at Pro City? Nah, he know the circuit.
Yeah.
He's like, you at Rucker? I'm like, nah. He said, where you at? I said, I'm at Dykeman. He said, what time? I said, 7. He's like, all right, I'll be there. I'm in Jersey right now at this clinic. I'll see you tonight. I was like, all right, coach, later. As casual as I sounded, there's a fork in the road. All this time, all you said was you didn't get a shot. You didn't have a chance. You slipped through the cracks. Nobody helped you. Guess what, motherfuckers? Judgment Day. What you gonna do? You gonna man up or you gonna bitch up? You're gonna show up in this park and show him what you got. Because this is your only fucking shot.
And the lights go on at Dykeman. Believe that.
Or you're gonna bitch up and you're just gonna be like, fuck, I fucked up my opportunity.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you knowing this? No one else knows. You're on the layup line, but you, but Kenny, the commissioner. Shout out to Kenny from Dykeman.
Kenny, that's my man since I was a kid. Kenny is a G, man. Much love to the Dykeman.
Shout out to Dykeman.
That's right.
The tournament that changed my, the other tournament that changed my life. Between you and Rucker Park, I owe you so much.
That's right.
Jim Todd, this is when he drafted Charlie Villanueva. They on the gate. Jim Todd come regular, like how we look. You don't see nothing on you that say sweet chick.
Yeah.
You don't see nothing that say your name, Rube. He just chilling. Him and Charlie. For some reason, I know God was with me. Any tournament I go to, from the beginning, double team. Sometimes triple whip is going. This was single coverage. 27 at half. Jim, I swear to God. 27 at half. Ended the half with a dunk. And
crowd is wild.
Yo, listen. Kenny said, get up. We have to give this guy a standing ovation because of what he just did. Second half, they started doubling.
Of course.
You know what I did? Just pass to the open man. Just find the open man.
Yeah.
Because I understand and know.
Well, Kenny wants to see
they
that.
They want to know that you can do that.
I mean, yeah.
A dumbass would do what? Go against the grain and continue trying to score. Right. So what I... You know what he said to me, Jim Todd, after that game? He said, you know what impressed me more? Not your 27 and a half, but how you found the open man.
Yeah.
I already knew it because I've been playing overseas.
They want to know you can play
team. That's the difference.
Throw and win a game and try to win a game.
That's what makes a pro.
And that's... I got a shot from Dykeman straight to vet camp.
That is
with
crazy.
Toronto Raptors.
That's nuts.
You've never heard no story never. Like that before, and I'm gonna tell you why.
For those that don't know, to get to vet camp is a long journey that summer. You gotta go to summer league. You gotta get accepted in summer league. You gotta get an unguaranteed contract. To get to vet camp is very difficult.
What people don't understand is that anybody that they said that played street ball, that went to the league or had shots, they've had a big name, stellar career in college,
right.
Yeah, okay.
And a name, not off of street ball.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was just a, okay, I do this in the summer
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
But I don't need this to advance
yeah.
in my career or in life.
Yeah. If that's not the platform that they get
exactly.
on from.
No.
It was sink. Literally, every street ball game was sink or swim. Listen, your rep take years to build and seconds to lose. I'm going to say it again if you didn't hear me. Your reputation take years to build and seconds to lose. My rep was on the line every time I stepped on the court. That's all I had. And when I got that shot, I was eating garbage pretty much before that opportunity. I was going overseas, but I wasn't making no real money.
Yeah.
Who's going to give you real money when your rep, when your bio doesn't match? If you've been working at KFC for the last 3 years, why am I going to give you Fortune 500 check or a salary? I'm not.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work like
not
that.
Even in the conversation.
And you can be the best. You can be the fucking the head manager, turning over some serious cash. My man, you in Taco Bell.
Yeah.
You cannot manage this workload at Apple.
Yeah.
I'm not hiring you.
So they brought you up to Toronto.
Brought me to T-Dot.
You amp. You got in that plane.
Oh, my God.
Amp.
All I said was, I trained with Larry Marshall in New Jersey on the beach. Some of the best workouts in my life. I love you, my other mentor. I love you. And thank you for everything. He's the guy that made Andrew Bynum, Andrew Bynum.
Right.
When he came out of high school.
Yeah.
He was basically living with him.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm up there. We in there. Getting it in. And he believed in me. And he just worked. He worked me out and got me right. Sid Jones is like, yo, you need, God bless the dead. Sid Jones is like, look, you need to work with Larry. Larry's a great guy. He, you know, he works players out and blah. I'm on the Beats Jersey show. I didn't have a car back then. My cousin Keith, girl, we was getting in her car 5 in the morning, going to South Jersey on the beach. That is a hell of a fucking drive. But that's what we had to do. Shout out to Jessica, who let us get her car. You understand? People don't know. Like, people might go one day.
Yeah.
Every fucking day, then have a street ball game. After.
Well, that's what you were talking about, you know, killing your moms again.
Listen, like I'm trying to tell you. If they gave me a gun, Ma, I love you. You're gone.
You're caught. Talk it's, about one thing. I'm sorry, John. Nah, my bad. I just want to say one thing. Like, from a basketball player's perspective, people, a lot of people that never played ball would never understand this, but when you walked in that locker room and you saw your name on the locker and you saw your uniform with a number on it sitting there, I remember how that felt when, you know, and I never even made it that far, but to get that uniform on the next level, that is, I mean, how does that feel?
First of all, it's an unreal feeling because everything is first class. Like, I don't care if you're the franchise tag player or you're the 15th man. Everything is A1. You got a driver, he's picking you up. You get to your hotel, it's one of the best hotels. It's the Four Seasons, top five star. Everything is 5 star. You go into the locker room, all you see in the locker room is the carpet, first of all, of the whatever the logo is on the floor.
Right.
Then you just see all the locker rooms. So all the stars that you've watched, you might be next to them.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, at that point up there in Toronto.
At vet camp, you get to actually play with the players that are signed.
Of course, because you're doing whole preseason.
Right, right.
You know, so you go in there, you got, at that point, they had Chris Bosh, Jalen Rose, Mike James, Mo Peterson, Jose Calderon, like Lauren Woods. Like, they had on paper, they had a nice players, good players on that team, names that we would know, household names, some of them. But that was the year, actually. Kobe gave him 81.
Right.
So, okay. So, it was a down year for them. But fuck that. That's the league.
Yeah, don't matter.
I'm up regardless. I'm here. So, I said to myself, listen, 15 players are signed already. But you still got an opportunity. Here was the thing. They had Mike James. They had Jose Calderon. Shows with the two guards. Shout out to Amityville Horror.
That's right.
My man Mike James. He's actually in town. I'm catching up with him this week, actually.
He had a nice career, Mike.
Yeah, he had a great career, actually. Yeah, he did his thing.
Yeah.
He got Mike James Day coming up on Saturday. I'm supposed to go out there, play some hoops with him and all of that. Actually, we're supposed to go golfing this week. So we'll catch up soon, Mike. But him and Jose Calderon were the two leading guards.
Right.
Alvin Williams was there. He hadn't played for the last year and a half because of knee issues. So they brought in 3 point guards. If the doctors say he can't play, one of these three will fill that spot.
Right. That's why they brought you in.
That's why they brought me in. Jim Todd went up there and said, listen, you need to bring this guy in. Jim Todd put his job on the line. He went up there arguing with the GMs and said, listen, I don't care who you bring. Homicide will bust their ass. Straight like that. He brought me in, and I know it was more, let's just shut Jim up, let's just bring the guy in.
Yeah.
Bring him in, bring Robert Pack in, brought Tier Brown in. Tier Brown, good player. He was with LA the year before.
Right.
Tier Brown is a scoring guard.
Right.
He's really like a homicide at the point. Robert Pack, veteran guard, 2-0. He can't keep up with me or Tier Brown. And then you have me up there. But I know they were not looking for a scoring point guard. They're looking for a guy who, because Jim Todd sat me down, they're looking for a guy who's durable, who can penetrate and create.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're looking for Bosh. We're looking for Jalen Rose. So me knowing this, I'm picking up full court. I'm going to turn you twice before you hit half court. And when I get the ball, I'm going to penetrate and look for the open man. That's it. I know if I make this team, I'm a 20-20 player. What a 20-20 player is, when you're 20 points up or you're 20 points down, that's when you're going to get in the game.
That's right.
I'm a third-string point guard, and I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah.
I just want to make this team.
That's right.
2 weeks later, you know, we go through preseason. We go through training camp. I'm doing good. And we played one game. like maybe six games in, and we down 10. Vince Carter against New Jersey Nets against Toronto. We down 10, 5 minutes left in the fourth. They throw us in the fourth. You sat down the whole game. You're not, you're tight, you know, like, what am I supposed to do with 5 minutes? I'm like, listen, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I got to do. I get in the game. Soon as they saw who Lamon Murray was guarding, they called timeout. Sam Mitchell's like, yo, whoever Lamon Murray is guarding, give him the ball. God was with me again. Lamon Murray's guarding me. This is why he had an issue with Lamon Murray.
Oh, he's old, man.
Because, true, fair enough. Lamon Murray, after they traded Vince Carter in the offseason, Lamon Murray said, you guys are dumb as fuck. If you're going to trade Vince Carter, get me the fuck out of here, too. So he traded him to New Jersey. So that's why I say I miss you.
And Tracy McGrady was going already, right?
Mac Bingo.
Yeah.
Mac was down in Orlando.
Right, right.
So, yeah, that was the first time Vince came to New Jersey.
Right.
So, lucky enough, he was guarding me. So he coming down every time, giving me the ball. 5 minutes left, we down 10.
Just, like, just go at him.
Go at him. What does that remind you of? That's street ball.
That's street ball. That is it.
They put it out of your house.
Give me the ball. Yeah. Zip up. You zip up to the key, dance and go to work.
That's it.
First play. And one with the left.
I saw that. I saw that, actually.
Second play, I got a steal, right? Go through. And one up and under and pageant with the left. Free throws. Bang, bang. That's six.
Six, yeah.
Long story short, we go to overtime and win.
Yeah.
I finished with 11, like two rebounds, two assists.
And don't get it twisted.
A steal.
A big contribution. And
you damn right.
Right. I mean, how long are you out there for?
9 minutes.
9 minutes, yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Yo, listen. The next morning.
Who was the coach at that time?
Sam Mitchell.
Sam Mitchell, right. Big Sam.
Yeah. The next morning, remember I said I had to do everything I possibly could to make this team, because if it didn't work, I could walk away knowing I gave it all I had.
Exactly.
Next morning, I wake up going to the gun. The gun is the shooting machine.
Yeah.
I go in the locker room. Tags are gone. I said, T.A. Brown, cut. Robert Pack, cut. I said, oh, shit. I said, what the fuck?
And you're
I'm really,
still there?
I'm in. I said, what the fuck? I was like, yo, calm the fuck down, B. Get on the gun. Calm the fuck down. I go upstairs. They got cut, yo. They got cut. Yeah. So I'm there. So my whole shit is relying on what? If doctors say Alvin Williams can't play. Alvin Williams is in practice like this. He got $20 million left on his deal.
Yeah, he's good.
He's in practice like this. You can't see it, but viewers, you can't see what I'm about to show you. But trust me. I'm going to show my guys here. Alvin Williams like this. Knees a fucking shot.
Yeah, basically.
Alvin Williams like. Yeah, I'm in my head like. Eric Williams was up there at the time, too. Shout out to Eric Williams.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, fam, you're going to get your money. Just sit down, B. Just sit down. Just
so he's basically limping through it.
Limp. He couldn't run.
Yeah.
And it's just like. Fam, just sit down.
You got your bread already. Just sit. Yeah.
Sit.
Cause they gonna give you that minimum if he can't play.
Yo, easy. Doctor said he can play. I get waived after the 8th preseason game.
Wow.
And I can tell you this. I was not sad, and I'm gonna tell you why. I didn't lose out because I wasn't good enough.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The competition I had, they went home.
Yeah,
I can't beat that battle with me and Alvin Williams. I can't beat that battle.
At that point, it becomes political. At that point,
it is. I walked away with a smile and I said, "Yo, you know what? Thank you. I'll be forever grateful for this opportunity because I know the big picture."
Yeah, now you're there. At least you're there.
How old were you at that point?
27. I was a 27-year-old. Yeah. So after that, I'm looking like this. Better agent. Better job overseas.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
It's a win. Listen, life, win or lose, is about perspective.
That's it.
How you look at things. I've known to not be bitter Take away the positive from whatever situation and move forward.
If you're going to be bitter even in that, I mean, it's that you know, that sucks, but then, you know what I'm saying, and you figured it out after that. But if you're going to be bitter about that, you're also going to be bitter at the end of the day that you're not the best and highest paid guy in the league, too.
So right.
Nothing's ever going to be good enough.
Exactly.
I mean, at some point, it's you know, you got to be comfortable with where you are and just say, okay, cool, if I got waived right there, then what do I got to do next? And continue. Right. Not get waived and just go home and say, fuck it.
Right, exactly.
Get waived and say, yo, let me get the better fucking agent.
Right.
Get the better fucking deal.
Let me tell you how this works, John.
I've seen it with over a thousand dudes I grew up playing ball with. You get your shot, you shoot your shot, you don't make it, you go home and eat a lot, get a giant belly, have a couple of kids, and you hang out on the corner. I don't want to mention no names, but I know a bunch of dudes that I played with that are doing that. So for Corey to go to the Raptors and almost make the team and be the final cut, a lot of dudes would have been like, well, I'm going to go back to Castle Hill, Soundview, wherever I'm from, and I'm going to hang out and chill. And the whole block's going to love me because I made it to the final cut of the Raptors. So I'll be a legend in my neighborhood. And that's when you start weighing 330 pounds. You're 6'5", and you look crazy. And your whole life is over. Anyway, back to Corey.
And you are so, you are so right.
But it's real, though.
And it's so sad because, what is those these, like, when does your ambition and your pride end? When did it end? Because I have yet to break the surface of what I'm going to do in this life. I have yet to. I have too much to offer. I'm not the guy, and I don't knock him. I'm not the guy to just be a trainer. I ain't no fucking trainer. We need trainers. I'm not one. I'm not the guy to be a coach. We need coaches. I'm not one.
How about a local drug dealer? You like that idea?
Nah, man. Like,
I know where to get some birds for
that
cheap.
Shit. I'm not one of those either. And I don't knock them because, you know, at some point, we've all needed at some point somewhere in life we needed them at some point in our life.
I know I needed them a lot.
You understand what I'm saying? At some point, you know?
I'm gonna plead the fifth.
Yeah, you know, we've all needed them at some point in life. So, you know, that's not technically the ideal route you want to go. But, you know, when you have your back against the wall, you got to do what you got to do.
So, Cole, we're gonna try to get this to where we need to go with it because I want everybody to understand the fullness of your accomplishments. So, the Raptors cut you. So, then, right now, you're setting up to go overseas and get a major deal. So, what happens next?
How about this? How much time we got so I know how to do this?
We got about 10, 15.
Fair enough. I could work with that.
Okay.
Well, we have no choice, but. So here's what happened. I get cut from Toronto. After that, I get a better agent, and I got offers to go abroad. Didn't take it. Went to the CBA. That's when the CBA was fucking crazy.
Crazy, yeah.
I was Rondo in the CBA before Rondo.
Wow.
I had the most triple-doubles in the season. First team on CBA. I didn't get called up. Got my Dave Yeager was my coach. Dave Yeager now just got fired, actually, was Memphis Grizzlies coach.
Memphis Grizzlies, right.
Right. We lost in the championship in the CBA. Cool, whatever. Leave there. Go to summer league with Indiana Pacers. I'm still living in Denver, but I'm working out. George calls the coach at Denver. This is when Denver got a fucking crew. JR, Melo, Kenyon, Camby, Dre Miller, Earl Boykins. This was the dope team. So I'm in every day. George Carl's fucking with me.
Afalo was on that team.
Nah, he wasn't.
Not yet, right?
Not that. Nah, not yet. The Linus Klaser, like, this is when they had a whip.
Oh, they went to the conference finals.
Yeah, that was a conference finals year. Oh, nah. Exactly.
Thank you.
Lost to L.A. Right.
Thank you, E. Newman.
Thank you, E. Newman. So at that point, George Carl fucking with me. But Indiana Pacers threw a check to go to summer league.
Mm.
So I knew he was fucking with me. I told my agent, listen, Indiana going to pay. If they pay, we'll go to Denver. Big mistake. Indiana's like, look, don't worry. You play at least half the game in summer league. That's all you want to do. Play half. I'm coming off a good minor league. So I'm like, bet. Give me half the game. I'm good. Go there. Sit the fucking bench. George Carl is like, you should have fucking came here. I gave you the whole fucking living room. You're here every day. Don't worry about it. I'm bringing you to training camp. I'm like, hell yeah. So I go to vet camp with Denver.
Right.
They bring in Anthony Carter. Legitimate vet point guard.
Yeah.
Get cut.
Yeah.
No problem. Go to the D League. Win the fucking championship with Dave Yeager again.
Was that baby?
Dakota Wizards.
Oh,
Dakota Wizards. Okay. Win the chip. Go to Summer League. Golden State. What I do again, sit the fucking bench. Look, this game is what people don't understand. A lot of the time, this shit is pimps and hoes.
Yeah.
Straight up.
It is
pimps. You gotta be fucking ready to deal with the bullshit. Some days, it's your day. Some days, you get fucked in the ass.
That's it.
That's just no Vaseline.
You know what? That's life.
That's what it is. That's life.
Life too. It's life too.
You know? I give you some wild shit. The coach that year for Summer League was, what's the guy that hit the shot for Indiana? Keith Smart.
Keith Smart.
This motherfucker says to everybody, this is what he says. Hey guys, good morning. We had breakfast. You know, we got a game later today. Just want to let you know this. You know, we're going to get you in. We get you in. You know, their draft picks they got to play, or the guys that didn't get a lot of burn from last year got to play. Look, we get you in what you get you in. But I tell you this, if you don't get in and your agent calls us, you're going home.
Yeah, they don't want to hear the bullshit.
That means
like shut up.
Shut up and take this shit in the ass. If you don't get in, it is what it is.
Right.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent on the bench in Summer League that'll never see the court.
They already got who they want to look at before the league starts. So even if you go in there and you drop crazy shit on them, they might just be like, well, whatever. That's not why we're here.
100%.
And they're not really going to give you the look to do.
There's a lot
they're
of factors.
They're
going
to tell you to pass. They're going to tell you they want you to give it to a certain person. Or
exactly.
Whatever it is. You know, it's politics.
It's politics.
That's right.
And that's what it is.
That's right.
So after that, remember, I got my opportunity older. So I ain't got too many years to be fucking around with this minor league shit.
Right.
I'm playing in the fucking Brazils of the world. I'm playing in the Swedens of the world. You might go to DR and shit like that.
You ever played minor Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I played in PR like 4 years ago. Real good money, too.
Yeah,
I played with Quebra Diaz. Shout out to Quebra Diaz. But with all of that, I'm like, listen, B, fuck this minor league shit. I need to get this money. Married, I got a daughter. This minor league check ain't it. That overseas check is just keeping you okay.
Right.
It ain't enough, though, to eat proper off of.
Right.
Hello, Australia.
Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. Good on you, mate.
Good day, mate.
Good day, mate.
Throw some shrimp on the barbie.
Throw some shrimp on the barbie.
Got a lager.
Foster's for Australia for beer, mate.
Yo, the wildest shit ever. Foster's, they don't even drink in Australia.
Of course.
Yo.
They don't drink Coronas in Mexico either, dude.
Marketed perfectly.
Yeah.
So I went to Australia, hit the ground running. Found a team, they started off 0-4, player got injured, Townsville Crocodiles. Shout out to Townsville in Queensland. Extremely awesome.
You get mad opportunity. Love in Australia, my brother. That's beautiful, man. Because I remember my man Dedrick Irving's father, Kyrie's father, Dedrick, who's from my neighborhood, and was like an idol to me coming up. He's a little older than me. He played in Australia. That's actually where Kyrie was born, in Australia.
Yes, he was.
So, and Dow Mack, my man Dow Mack.
D-Mack still over there.
D-Mack still lives.
The OG,
there.
Shout out to D-Mack.
D-Mack, so it is. Australia's a great league, man. And, you know.
It's awesome. New York guards do well there. It's just our style of play. We do well there.
They like
it. And shout out to my agent at the time, was Bill Neff. And he got me there, and he sent D-Mack over there.
Is D-Mack still working with the basketball there?
Or he was with Melbourne Tigers. Now he's
coaching?
In between. He's coaching for sure. They got a youth team. Like, not youth, like children.
They do it different.
Teams.
Yeah, they do it different.
He's doing actually pretty well.
Right. He was always one of my all-time favorite players in New York City back in the 80s. You could not stop him. Sorry, no one.
He's a god.
Well, he was kind of like you.
D-Mack was.
You guys had similar games.
They actually called me the next D-Mack.
You guys have similar games. Very strong.
Over there.
Yep.
And, he's awesome. He's doing well. And I did 4 straight years in there. I did 3 years with Townsville. Lost every year to go to the championship. Game 3 on the other person's floor. But at my 3rd year, I got MVP of the league.
Wow.
And then I went to Greece. They didn't pay me, a EuroLeague team. They didn't have any money. I said, you know, Greece going to jerk you at some point.
I heard it all the time.
They're going to jerk you at some point. So I said, give me 30% of my contract up front. They said, yeah, no problem. Just come, you know. The country was fucking broke.
Yeah.
So I was like, I give you 2 weeks, because it was in Athens. Come on. Athens? You serious?
Yeah.
Greek islands right down. Go on the boat, you right there. Like, Athens is awesome. So I'm like, God, please, let this work.
Yeah.
Didn't work. Got back on a flight. Now another team picked me up. I went back to Melbourne. I was in Melbourne, and I just really found a lot of success there, and I thank
the
country,
up.
B.
It's messed up that there's no hot chicks in Australia.
Man. Oh, man. Listen, look, I can tell you this right now. While I was there the first 3 years,
Australia got the hottest chicks.
I ain't gonna front. When I was there my first 3 years,
You hit everything?
No, I didn't, because I was married. But I got I got separated. But when I got separated, you know, like, you know, you
hit everything. You hit everything.
Shit, though, listen, the love over there is unbelievable.
Oh, man.
I don't think people really understand the level of love a brother gets.
Especially from New York City.
Jesus Christ. Listen, New York is pretty much a coveted anywhere we go.
Anywhere, right.
There's nobody who doesn't love New York.
Yes.
You know? So,
thank you.
It was an extremely amazing opportunity I had to play over there, and you know, a lot of times guys play video games, stay in their room.
Nah,
I'm not that guy.
I noticed that from your Instagram.
I'm a type. I'm all over the place. You know, a lot of times my friends hit me up. They say, "Yo, you playing ball or you just hanging out? Like, what are you doing?
You the mayor of Melbourne?"
They're like, "What are you doing? What's going on?" I just think that traveling has given me the best experience in my life.
That's right.
So I'd be a fool to just sit in rooms and just hang out in my room.
Yeah.
No way. You gotta accept and appreciate where you are.
I would never be here to this day, quickly, is if it wasn't for my man, Red Autry. He paid 11 years overseas, and every year, Red said, "Rube, I got a ticket for you," and I would go there, Germany, Italy, Turkey, and guess what? It'd be for a week, and next you know, I'm there for 3 months.
Yeah.
With Red, and we are having the time of our life. You know, that just changed my whole perspective on life, to see the culture in Italy and, like, live in Germany. It was just amazing, man. Shout out to Red Autry, man, coaching at Syracuse right now.
Shout out to Red.
11-year overseas career. Corey's on his way just like that.
A legend. Shout out to Red, man. Much love.
My high school backcourt partner.
Man, yeah. I had to whip it talent time.
Yeah,
man. I had to, woo! Jesus. Yeah,
whatever, that's history. But cool,
so I leave Australia. After I go to Australia, now I'm 31, separated. This is when shit get real.
Yeah.
You know, I got separated and...
And you had a daughter at the
time. I had my daughter, my Bella. She was
very
young.
Very tight with your daughter.
Yeah, that's my Bella bear, Isabella. Isabella Karina Williams, my baby. She's Puerto Rican, Jamaican, Mexican.
She's actually a young athlete herself, man. A lot to be proud of.
Volleyball and basketball, and a scholar as well.
That's right.
She's doing her thing, and, you know, there was a fork in the road. You know, Australia, my coach had got fired, and the new coach that they brought in, regime change.
Right.
He didn't want to fuck with me. And that's how I go into business.
Right.
You know, and what I was getting salary-wise at that time, no other team could afford to pay me. Melbourne was one of the big teams. And any team that could... They had a local point guard at that spot who was good, so they didn't change. So, okay, on to another country. So now you're 32.
And you end up in the Middle East, right?
And I end up in Lebanon.
Was you out there with Nakia Miller at any time?
Yeah, Fab was. Listen, ask Fab how we give it up out there.
Oh, yeah.
Fab said.
I don't have to ask him because he tells me every day. I get a text from him.
Fab came out there. But anyway, shout out to Lebanon.
He's a 6'10" center from New York City that grew up playing with all of us. I played with him when he was young. Then Corey got him. But he's a great player. Went to Iona College, man.
Yeah, had a stellar, another.
He's actually still playing. He's like 39,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he is.
He's still
is.
Overseas.
And, you know, I hit the ground running. I had to in Lebanon because, you know, as a point guard, as an import, you know, I'm a dinosaur as far as my age is concerned. Again, I'm 39, still playing Division I international ball at a high level, which is unheard of, to be honest with you. You know, I've been lucky because, you know, I played in every continent. Every continent they have basketball. Wow. Outside of Africa, I've been there.
Wow.
I've been in five
really
continents.
Have basketball.
Right.
They have football.
Africa and Antarctica. We have no business in Antarctica. Well, I don't.
Yeah.
Nah. So, you know, you going to open up any sweet chicks in Antarctica?
I'm passing on that one.
Yeah. Well, there's a deal on the table now.
We're working on it.
North Pole.
It's a licensing deal.
Santa Claus is interested in partnering up. My bad.
Yeah, so... you know, I went over there and I said, listen, man, like, you know, this can be the end of the road, you know, so what are you going to do to extend it as long as you can? So I had to dig in the bag
and
go in again. Like, you know, my goal, my ultimate goal is always 40.
Yo, when I saw you standing there on your clip that you posted on, I don't know, Facebook, wherever, and I see you in that shirt and you got the microphone and I'm like, is this really happening right now? Did my man go there? Basically, he's going to become the Brent Musburger of Australia. Like, my man is straight crushing it on every level. Like,
I have How much time we got? I got to speed this up. I know
go
I
do. Go ahead. Go for yours.
All right. So, look.
Go ahead.
So, I went to Lebanon. I did 5 straight years there. My team actually wants me to come back. Shout out to Tadama.
Yeah, you were there this past season.
I was just there this past season. So, I've done 5 straight years there. I played in Iraq. You know, when Iraq, during the height of that whole ISIS.
Yeah.
I was in an area called Kurdistan. They consider themselves their own state. They don't even consider themselves a part of Iraq. But it's pretty much in Iraq.
Yeah.
I leave there because the team ran out of money. Clearly, the team was stealing the money.
That happens a lot. Don't get it twisted, but that happens a lot in other cultures. You got to understand, they're trying to establish their basketball just like the United States did with the CBA and NBA back in the days. So everybody's still evolving. So it happens a lot overseas when teams do run out of money.
Like a lot of times, like you may not get paid for 2 months.
Right.
That's happened to me before.
Oh, I know mad dudes that stay in the country to get paid.
And it's like, you stay till they pay your money.
Yeah. It's crazy. That's right.
You know, so, but if you have no other jobs, what are you going to do?
Right.
Leave that country to go home and sit down and complain. You'll never get paid.
No.
You never get paid.
You got to stay there.
You got to stay and fight it out. Like, people don't know. Like, mentally, you need to be strong enough to be able to deal with that. So, with all of that, I'm going to keep moving because I know, you know, we have a short time left. I leave Lebanon and what are we in, 2016? So 2015, Fashion Week. My summers are nuts. Basketball is second because I go hard while I'm playing. So it's time to relax for a little bit. You know, I'm a fan of the nightlife in New York. You'll find me anywhere. You know, Ruben's, I've been in plenty of nights with Ruben. And
we're about to turn up tomorrow night, by the way.
Yeah, we definitely turning up tomorrow night, by the way.
1,000%.
Yeah, so, you know, Fashion Week comes around New York. You have friends, you know, you're in New York a long time, you start being the networking, and you have friends who model, friends who act, and you obviously, you have friends that are American socialites and American pro athletes. NBA, baseball, basketball, boxing, whatever.
It's the culture.
Which means you have access to a whole lot of shit. Fashion shows, after parties. After Fashion Week in New York last year, the illest party I went to was fucking Marc Jacobs. His part, first of all, Marc Jacobs, which I don't care, he's homosexual. But his parties are the craziest shits ever.
All gay people have the best parties.
Yo,
all the
girls. This shit was the wildest fucking party. Guess where it was held at? In the tunnel. 27th and 12th.
Oh, yeah.
This shit was fucking nuts. Alexander Wang, Dior, Rihanna shit. Like, we hit all the dope shit.
Yeah.
After that, those like 5 days in a row, I said, listen, I need to get my life together because I need to start really training because basketball is going to start soon. So I got a guy who hit me up to go to Australia to play in a streetball tournament. I haven't been in Australia in 4 years.
Right.
Ever since I left.
Yeah.
I get to Australia playing the streetball tournament, losing the championship by an Australian. No shit. Clearly, I got fucking robbed by one. Anyway.
That was a one-on-one
thing? It was a one-on-one thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this one.
Speaking of one-on-one, to hold your thought, but I don't want to forget this. I was scrolling through Instagram the other day, and I see Cam'ron. Of course, Cam'ron the Great from Harlem, Mr. Pink. One of the greatest rappers of all time.
Shout out to Dipset.
So shout out to Dipset. Shout out to that whole crew, Jim Jones, and all of them. So I see Cam'ron post a picture of Corey of Homicide. And I'm like, what's Cam doing? Cam'ron's promoting a one-on-one game between my man right here.
And Jesse Sapp.
And Jesse Sapp. When is that?
Well, we don't have a date yet. He's meeting with...
That's in LA, right?
Nah, it's going to be here.
In New York?
The other one-on-one tournament that I'm going to be in October... is Fight Ball.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Right. I'm in Fight Ball in October. Yeah.
But I didn't...
They changed the date.
Yo, shout out to Killer Cam for keeping New York City underground shit alive. That's some old school New York shit from the 70s and 80s when you get a one-on-one from two of the top players in the city. That's some real New York shit. Much respect to Killer Cam for that.
No doubt. And then there's going to be a string of them. Trust me.
Yeah,
there's going to be some huge things. We're talking... And it's going to be awesome. Trust me. Watch out for even after that game.
Matter of fact, me and John rolling up
there. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be crazy.
I'm already
putting that shit. It's going to be some big money on the line. I ain't coming out if it ain't no for short money. We don't do that. So it's going to be some real big money on the line.
Let me be a manager.
It's going to be exciting. Yo, listen, it's going to be really, really exciting what we have in the works.
That's going to be live.
And the sponsor that's on board, it's a huge sponsor.
Yeah. It's Reebok, right?
No.
Don't mention it, Cam.
No. We're not mentioning
it. I know actually. Cam has a deal with Reebok.
Yeah, he has a deal with Reebok and a deal with Stride Socks. Socks. It was going to be Reebok and Stride Line,
right.
But then a huge sponsor was hitting him up when he was on tour, like, every day.
Yeah.
We want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
So
is he going to have it in Harlem World, you think?
Nah, we don't know the venue yet.
Okay.
I want
indoor,
it.
Indoor, outdoor?
You got to be indoor.
Yeah, because you want to preserve your legs. Yeah.
What I want is... I wanted it to be in September. I just got a call for a trip to go to KSA, Saudi Arabia, to play in front of a prince.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's some wild shit about to happen. Yeah. So that's going to be either the second week or the fourth week of September. So I want this game to be done before we go to Saudi.
Right.
You know, so.
And where's Sap at? I heard he's nice. I haven't
Sap,
seen
Sap that. Is nice. Sap is nice. Sap hasn't played. Sap just
we get to St. Peter's, right?
Nah, Sap went to Georgetown.
Georgetown, right?
Yeah,
right.
Sap from Harlem.
He's
East
nice.
Harlem.
I heard he's
dumb nice. Shout out.
Well, it's
to
been
East
going
Harlem.
Him neck and neck the last couple of summers.
Sap been doing his thing. Like that's the brother. You know what I mean? But you know when we on the court, you know obviously we don't know each other.
Saying, of course.
Yeah, but has had a good career. Didn't play last year overseas because he wanted to be home with his family. Just had a little one. So, you know, shout out to him and his family. He's still
tough guard.
Ratchet, big guard.
Shoots.
It's going to be a nice battle, to be honest with you.
He's
going
to try to probably body you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big guard. He's a good talent. You know, it's not going to be a walk in the park.
That forearm out there.
Yeah, you know, but one thing that I take pride in is the one-on-one battle. That's made my career. You know, again, we go back to talking about things that you had to eat off of. He's a great talent, but he didn't have to eat off of this.
Right.
My shit was literally sink or swim off of this. So mentally, my approach is totally different than this. Totally different. But it's going to be a great game. So before that, I go back to Australia for the one-on-one.
Right.
My best friend at the time lived in Melbourne. The one-on-one was in Brisbane. So I get to Melbourne, throw some posts up. We out partying, kicking it. I said, I'm going to train while I'm in Melbourne. Wait to sign my contract to go to Lebanon. I'm going to shoot straight from Melbourne to Lebanon. I'm in Melbourne, throw some pictures. NBL, which is the National Basketball League, the main league in Australia.
Right.
They hit me up. Homicide, you in Melbourne? I'm like, yeah, what's going on? They say, look, we need to talk to you. The general manager of the NBL wants to have a conference meeting with you. I'm like, for what? They was like, look, listen, just take the call. I'm like, all right, here's my number. Give me a call. They hit me up. I'm going to say, how long are you going to be here for? I said, listen, I'm just training. I'll be here probably like 3 weeks to a month before I get out of here to go to Lebanon. I'm just waiting to sign my contract. They said, look, we want you to commentate on Fox Sports.
That is amazing.
I'm like,
shocked.
Now, look, you weren't even more shocked than I was.
I felt so happy for you at that when I saw that.
Thank you, my brother. And I'm going to tell you what we don't know about our impact as a player and a person when you play international ball. Most of us, it's hard to get a long-term contract in a country or with a team when you play international ball. You get a one-year deal.
Right.
You got to do it's performance-based. You got to do your thing.
It's a revolving door.
It's what have you done for me lately? Maybe we can get better player for cheaper.
Yeah.
So your agent is shopping you for a bunch of different countries. Yeah, pimps and hoes. Pimps and hoes
always.
So that will tell you in itself the type of work that I put in a country. If you're coming in a country, don't even commentate and not even playing in the country. They're ready to give you a work visa to jump on national TV to cover this basketball.
Yeah.
So I was just
it's the respect level they have for you.
You know, and that just said to me a lot because I didn't have a chance to go back. Seldom we have the opportunity to go back to the countries that we played in because you always hop in every year. You go in a different country. So I was just honestly... I really knew my body of work meant a lot in that country, so I was really just appreciative of that opportunity. I took it, and I ran with it. I was there for about 4 months, And obviously, after a while, you know, there's levels when it comes to commentating. I wasn't the main guy. I was the second guy. So you'll have the professional commentator, and then I'm the other guy. And they just love me. Just be yourself. Because I'll be like, yo, listen.
Well, you're the expert.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're the expert on the panel. Right. You know,
so I'll be like, yo, listen. Ruben might as well come commentate with me, because he ain't doing nothing on the court. So he might as well put a uniform on and commentate with me.
You was the Charles Barkley of a street.
I was the Charles Barkley. I'm like, what the fuck Johnny doing tonight? What is Johnny? I say, you know what? If this coach don't take Johnny out, like, I'm gonna text the coach now. So when he goes in at halftime, he can read it and say, look, get him out the game. Like, that's how I was on TV talking, but I was being real, but I still know my X and O's of the game.
Which is
I
love appreciated in that
it's
forum.
It's super appreciated.
That's why you have Barkley and Shaq.
Exactly.
That's why they're there.
Exactly.
Those guys ain't the smartest dudes on earth. They're probably pretty much, Barkley's probably the dumbest
guy. The dumbest, yo, he would have to be. But
his valid is, you know.
Exactly.
He appeals to the dumb people of America. There's millions.
There's millions. Exactly. You know, we all have our purpose out here in the world. But, you know, after I did that for a couple of months, I'm waiting for them to actually hit me up back, because they asked me if I was willing to do it long term.
And that would be great. That was such a great look for you, my bro.
Yo, I appreciate it. I had a blast with it. Thank you, Fox Sports.
New York had a lot of love for that.
Yeah.
That's a transition not many make, especially in the culture, man. That's crazy.
And definitely in another country. To be appreciated like that in another country was awesome.
And it's just more chicks out there.
Yo, hey, listen. Shout out to my baby. I got a new girlfriend now. And, you know, she know what it is. Like, she heard of the rep before she even heard of me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so, we always have jokes about how much of a smut I used to be or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
But yo, I just want to, yo, like, we got to wrap this up. But yo, like, just this just being our second podcast, I got to say, this was a special one, Corey, man.
Your story, thank you guys, is, man.
Thank you for coming on, up, man.
The story is very inspirational. Yeah, you know, like,
I appreciate it.
I don't want to hear shit that you can't make it from now on from nobody. My man got told he couldn't make it a million times.
A million. Never give up. You know, at the end of the day, listen. We all can't make the Mega Millions, but that don't mean you can't have a great career and a great life.
Yo, you listen to the three dudes right here that have defied odds their whole life, and I'm going to keep it real, and I'm going to add myself to that because that's 100% true. Yo, we defy the odds. That's what we do, man. Corey, it was good to have you up here, man.
Great to be here. Great to meet you.
I hope you enjoyed the sweet shit.
I hope you enjoyed the shrimp and grits was popping. I was so caught up in telling this. You know, because the goal in my life is to impact, motivate, and inspire, regardless. So when we start talking real stuff, like, everything got to stop.
Yeah.
We got to talk, because you got to capture these type of moments. You don't get these opportunities, and I appreciate every opportunity I get. So when I get it, you got to hear it. You know what I'm saying? I got to give it to you from my heart.
And we appreciate you, and you know what? New York appreciates you, and the joy you bring to people every time they get able to walk uptown and see a free basketball game with professional dudes like you and get to take that in. That changes people's lives, man. We appreciate you. New York's proud of you, my brother.
Much love and respect. BX all day. Yo, follow me on Instagram, B. I need some new followers, man.
Patient Wolf.
The Patient Wolf. NYC.
That's right.
Holler at me, man.
Be signing out. My man, John Seymour.
New York, New York.
Chicken King of New York. We in the building, yo. Signing off. Rule 1.